We are doing Netivot Shalom and Parshat Ki Teitze. Ki Teitze la Milchama lo yevecha untana Hashem lokecha biyadecha v'shavita shivyo. Our topic is, when you go out to war against your enemy, the Torah says, Hashem will give him in your hand and you will take his captives. Hamfarshim amdu al lashon Ki Teitze la Milchama. The commentaries commented on the term as you go out to war. The verse could have just as well said, when you go to war. It didn't have to say when you go out to war. It could have just said when you have war. So, number one, we have to understand why the Torah describes it as going out to war. Number two, why does the Torah say when you go out against your enemies? In the plural sense, why doesn't the Torah just say when you go out to war against an enemy? Singular. Shemash mashem deber al ha'oyev hayadua. The verse seems to speak about the known enemy. When you go out to war against the enemies, who? I'm supposed to know who. Ken tzirich biur omro untano Hashem lokecha biyadecha. We also have to understand, why did the Torah interject this concept? It says, and you will be victorious. Hashem will give him in your hands. And then it goes into another mitzvah of war. Why is that relevant? Why did the Torah have to stick in the point that you will be victorious? Why is that relevant to our parsha? Our parsha is discussing a special mitzvah. It's not talking about whether you will be victorious or not at war. Torah could have just said, when you go out to war against your enemy, you will take captives, and then you have mitzvahs with the captives. V'hainyan. So the concept is as follows. D'inei b'parshiyot elu shekorin b'chodesh elul ne'emar gimel pa'amim ki tetzel la'milchama. In the month of Elul, we will read three times these words when you go out to war. Parshat ki tetzel la'milchama lo'ivech avreit asus v'rechev. B'sof parshat shoftim, we saw last week, in Parshas Shoftim, it says, you will go out to war. Those are the words. You will see a tremendous army, horses, chariots. Don't get scared. Hashem is with you. V'chan, and then the second time in our Parsha, ki tetze l'milchama lo yivecha untano Hashem lokecha biyadecha. You'll go out to war, Hashem will give him in your hands. Ula'alan, and later on in the Parsha, it says, ki tetze machne lo yivecha, when you go out with your camp to war against the enemy. So then the Torah says, be careful, don't do anything that is evil. The holy Zohar and other holy works write, this is not only talking about the physical war, it is also alluding to the eternal war that a person has im oivo banefesh, with the enemy that's in his soul, that's the evil inclination. When you go out to war, we're talking about another war. We're not only talking about the physical war. Uvechodesh ze shini yemei atshuva, and in this month of Elul, days of repentance, al yehudi ladat shekol metziuto ale adamoti lemilchama lo yivecha. A Jew has to know that his existence on earth is intertwined with a war. You wake up in the morning, you're going to have to fight a battle. Life is a certain struggle. Val ze nemar ki tetze. That's why the Torah describes it as when you go out. Going out from where? When you go out to the world. When you come out to the world, you've started a battle. You're going to win, but you're in a battle. Going out to war is speaking about a person coming down to this world. The soul comes down from somewhere so elevated to a place that's so low, a place where we have to deal with all kinds of troubles that go on in our lives, all kinds of desires. And the Torah describes life as you will go out, because once the soul comes out of the upper worlds to this world, you have to know, what are you here for? You're going to have to fight a battle against your inner enemy. So a person has to right away wage war with the purpose he was sent to this world. To attain his purpose in this world. Now, if we can only see it this way, then life takes on a different, a totally different theme. You know, there are so many examples to this. The second you're living, you have to deal with annoyances. It's the person cutting you in line. It's the bus driver that sees you struggling getting onto the bus and starts rushing you and telling you, you know, the whole bus is waiting for you. Yes, you know, you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with a baby carriage. Maybe you're struggling with a baby that's making it difficult. Maybe you're struggling to pick up the wares you just bought. But now you have to deal with someone who's not being so pleasant to you. And so then the driver, of course, doesn't wait for you to sit down and he starts zooming left and right and you're thrown in every direction on the bus and you pray that your bags won't go flying everywhere. How do you deal with that? There are small things, there are big things, but in life we have to deal. And when we have to deal, so the easiest way to deal is to get annoyed. Hey, why don't you watch where you're going? Of course I know everyone's waiting for me. You think it's fun for me to climb on the bus and have my wagon fall apart on me? Yeah, we could yell back. But if we look at it and say, oh, I have a new battle, an internal battle. My battle isn't with the driver. My battle is with myself. Am I going to lose control? Am I going to get upset at him? Am I going to yell at him? Or am I going to take control? Who's going to win this battle? So sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to tell him, right? Did I win? I lost. But if I can conquer myself, then maybe I've won. And again, this is a paradigm shift. How often do we stand in life and there are so many things that annoy us, people that are doing things that are wrong to us. So now what do I do? It's not fair. Okay, it's not fair. Now how do I deal with that not fair? Every day you're going to have to deal with things that are not fair. The guy who cuts you off in line, the guy who cuts your car off, the guy who's trying to usurp you at your job. Life is about dealing. And you have to deal. And people, at least in our perception, they are not fair. Now what? So if I view my battle as being with him, so then I'm going to get myself ready and I'll fight the best I can. It's a dog eats dog world, yeah? But if my battle is with myself, so then it's a totally different game. The Rambam, in his commentary on Mishnah, quotes the following story. Rambam, in his commentary on Pirkei Avot, tells us the story about a very wise philosopher who was traveling on a ship. And he was going third class, and there were these arrogant people going first class. And the people in first class were on a higher deck. And this philosopher is sitting down on the lower deck, third class, philosophizing. And suddenly, he feels it's getting wet. And he looks up, and he sees one of the arrogant, wealthy people has opened up his zipper and urinating on his head. So he looks up and he sees this arrogant person purposely urinating on him. And his students are there. And the guy finishes what he's doing and the philosopher smiles. And the students look at him and they say, what are you smiling about? The guy just put you down as much as a person can be put down. And he says, well, at first, when I realized what was going on, I got very upset. And then I took control of myself. And so this is one of the happiest days of my life, because I took control of myself. And the Rambam quotes this story. The Rambam, in his commentary on Pirkei Avot, quotes the story. So I wish us all that we should never have a situation where such water is falling on us. But we have other situations where we feel like people are really putting us down and treating us in ways that are not fair or unkind or disrespectful. And what Netivot Shalom is teaching us is a tool. It's a perspective. I'm here to fight a battle, but my battle is not with the other guy. My battle is, can I conquer myself? The reason we were put down on earth is because we have a mission. Hashem gave every Jew a mission, something to accomplish. Maybe many things to accomplish. All of creation, from the beginning of time, they have a mission, they have a purpose. This is also a Rambam. Rambam in his introduction to Mishnah, and especially a Jew whose purpose was to come in a covenant with his Creator, so he came to the world and he has a mission from above. He's got to fight that battle, and that is the essence of life. That is the essence of life. Am I going to take control? Or am I going to be controlled? Controlled by whom? By my anger? By my emotions? Or can I be in control? And it's very hard. The Mishnah says, Ezehu gibor ha-koveshet yitzro. And the Pasuk says, Moshel beruchom milochet ir. Someone who can control his spirit is greater than someone who conquers a whole city. That's a pretty big feat. And he quotes from the Hasidic Rebbe on the verse, V'atalo atem shelachtem uti enaki elokin. Yosef tells his brothers, you didn't send me down to Egypt, God sent me down here. Sheyudi tzich lomar l'kol nyanei olam hazeh tavotav v'tshukotav. A Jew has to look at his desires, at his inclinations, look at them and say, lo atem shelachtem uti hena. You didn't send me down here. Lo leman chem yaradti la'olam hazeh. I did not come down to this world for you. You ask a person what you came down to this world for. So I once had a very, very disturbing conversation with a young man. The kid was in 10th grade. And I asked him, why are you living? And he said, to enjoy life. And I said, what do you want to do in life? And he said, I want to sit back on a porch, drink a milkshake, and enjoy the sun. I said, you don't want to accomplish anything in life? You don't want to have a family? You don't feel like there's any purpose to life? He said, the purpose of life is to enjoy it. I said, there's nothing meaningful? You don't want to build a family? He said, no. And he lived up to his word. He dropped out of high school. He went and took a simple job. And whenever he has money, he goes, he buys his motorcycle. He sits back and enjoys a milkshake and does nothing with his life. The issue is probably in his parents' education, because by the time I spoke to him, I didn't find a way to impress upon him that there was any purpose to life other than having a good time. And the poor guy has no intention of building a family. 5 years have passed since that conversation. Now it's going to be 5 years. And I spoke to his father recently, and his father tells me, you know, he's already of marriageable age and he has no intention of getting married. All he's doing is like he told you 5 years ago. After the conversation, I called the parents. I said, this is what your kid plans on doing with life. I said, what about Torah? What about mitzvos? Yeah. At that time, he was wearing yarmulke. He was keeping Shabbos and everything. But this idea, what am I here for? Yosef says to the brothers, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. So the Rebbe said, a Jew should look at his desires and say, you didn't send me here. I didn't come to this world for you. You're a nice thing to have, but that's not the purpose of life. God sent me here, and I have a mission, I have a purpose. The Noam Elimelech wrote a small note. And he wrote in that note, Sha'adam lo nivra ba'olam rak leshaber et ha'teva. He said, man was created in the world to conquer nature, to conquer our own nature, to conquer nature. And the grandfather of Slonim said, if you didn't get him annoyed today, then you didn't live. Who? Your Yetzer Hara. You know, I had this conversation with my kids. You'll see among your kids that sometimes one picks on the other. So this happens often, but sometimes it's like he's always picking on her. It's like he comes home and says, "Where's my sister?" And he's not looking to tell her good afternoon. He's looking to pick on her, right? So you ask him, "Is that? Do you feel like that's part of your purpose in life? You're here to pick on your sister?" And sometimes the kid will say, yeah, that sounds right, yeah? Okay, so we're here, says the Netivot Shalom, if you haven't picked on the Yetzer Hara, if you haven't annoyed him today, if you haven't said, "I won you, I'm not going to do what you want right now," you'll see this with kids. Sometimes kids will say, "I want to sit there." And you'll say, "Why do you want to sit there?" And the kid doesn't want to answer because he wants to sit there because he knows it annoys his sister that he sits there. So the reason, there's no other reason he wants to sit there, but if it annoys her, that's a good enough reason. So maybe she said she wanted to sit there a minute ago, so now he wants to sit there. But the grandfather of Slonim said, that's how we have to behave to the Yetzer Hara. If you didn't pick on him today, that's not a day of life. If all day went smoothly, I lived my life. No action, right? Kids are always looking for action. It got into Hebrew culture too. They see police cars, they say, "Great action." Right? They don't say, "Maybe there was an accident, maybe there's a robber, maybe it's dangerous." No, all the kids come clambering. And the new slang is action. They hear the word action, they all run in and see what's going on. Was there action today? Did you annoy your Yetzer Hara? Was there a fight? You're supposed to win. So then that means you have to make headway today. You were sent with a mission. Fight your enemy. And if you didn't accomplish anything in that, you didn't do anything today. So that's a very, very difficult, but very positive, very important perspective on life. How many times are we sitting there in the lunchroom, you want to say a juicy piece of Lashon Hara? Ask yourself, did I live today? Did I do anything today against my Yetzer? Did I win anything yet today? How many times do you really want to get annoyed at someone? Let them have it. Let them have a piece of your mind. Well, did I win yet today? Well, have I lived yet today? And what he's done here is really encapsulized much of Viktor Frankl's philosophy also. This idea that our free choice is our life. And that is what life is. There's a lot out there that's not in our control. But our freedom of choice is in our control. And that's life. You don't have a choice on so many things. If you think about it, you can control how healthy you eat. You can't control how healthy you'll be. You can control how much you'll try to make a living. You can't control how much you'll actually make. You can control how much you try to contain your spending. You can't control how much you spend. There are things that are beyond your control. You're not going to tell a child that needs a root canal, "No, wait and see what happens." I know someone who did that to themselves. And they went crazy. Infection went up to their head. And they're just a little slow today. They postponed dealing with a root canal. I didn't know this could happen until it happened to him. He had a root canal. He had an infection. He said, I'll get it. By the time he got it, the infection went up to his head. And he's brain damaged for life. So there are things, you don't really control your expenses. You try to control your expenses. There are things where you say, "I got to do it. What can I do?" Right? So where do we live? That's Viktor Frankl's line. You live in the realm of freedom of choice. And that's all of life. And that's the idea we just saw in the Netivot Shalom. Now, the Netivot Shalom channeled it. Now, if I really want to live, I have to make the right choice. I have to make the positive choice. I have to conquer those inclinations that are trying to pull me down. And that's life.